Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched." Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. Lord, I thank you for your blessings and your understanding. Now help us to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Thursday, we went to Cleveland Clinic for our first appointment. And on the way there, my doctor, urologist, called and said, "We have the scan back. And it looks like that you have a couple spots that are swelled on your, what are those things called? Lymph nodes." But he said, "Can't tell whether they're cancer or not unless they biopsy them. And they won't biopsy them because just because they're there, they're going to have to give you chemo." So that sounded kind of okay. But every doctor we saw, things started sounding worse. We go and they read the scan, and the next doctor says, "You have about 10 lymph nodes and it's moving up." Then we went to the next doctor and he said, "About 20 and two about the size of his finger, one on an artery and one outside of the bladder on the side." Then I start thinking, my side's been hurting. So I think we've qualified for a testing program for a new mixture of chemo. At least I think we're in the program. We go tomorrow morning to find out about that. And I said to Terry, "If it's a testing program, must mean the other program isn't working very well." So we will get in that, but I may get the regular chemo or I may get the new mixture. We don't know. They will tell us ahead of time, but they're going to follow both of us through, and it's a lot more attention, but that has to be done at Cleveland. So I don't know when I will be here to preach or not. I would like to be here the last Sunday of May, maybe, and preach, and then the first of June, on June the 1st, actually, is when they're going to start the chemo treatments, and they have to be done in Cleveland. I was standing in the window on the fourth floor of the Cleveland Clinic. And do questions ever go through your mind? I thought about Jesus when he was hanging on the cross and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And God showed him immediately that he hadn't. And the Bible says that Jesus gave up the ghost, but he didn't die. His body did, but he didn't. Someone asked me, Liam asked me, or said, "Grandpa, I don't want you to die." And I said, "Well, I'm going to. And so are all of you. So are your children. So are your grandchildren. So are your great-grandchildren. So you better get used to it. They may have a year, they may have 5 years, you may have 20 years, you may have another 70. But I remember when Brian Osborne was going through his cancer treatment, he had a friend that was a golfing friend, a good friend. His name was Walt. And Walt put together a thing out at the golf course for him, for a fundraiser. But Walt died before Brian did. He didn't know what hit him. I guess it was an aneurysm or a stroke or something, but they said he just fell on the floor. Jerry Osborne bent over to tie his shoe. What I'm saying is this. As I was looking out the window, I said, God, do you listen? I know you speak, but do you listen? So I started thinking through the book of John, chapter 1, that says, whosoever shall call on me and believe, they will be my children. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He listens. I thought of John chapter 2, where he went to the wedding, and he saw that they were out of the grape juice. You say, I thought the Bible said wine. Do you know there were four words, including jelly, that was translated into the English word wine? Four Greek words? I just don't see Jesus as a party animal. So I'm going to call it what I believe it was, grape juice. And he turned the water into the grape juice because that's what they drink. They didn't have Pepsi or Coke. Then I thought, Nicodemus came to him at night, and he was a rich young ruler, and he said, what can I do to get into the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus listened, and he said, you must be born again. And he said, that's very hard. Look at me. I'm an adult. How do I get back into my mother's womb and get born again? He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. You must be born again. Jesus listened. Then he went to, said, I have needs to go to Samaria. And he met a woman there that was been married five times, and the guy she was living with wasn't even her husband. That's kind of amazing that God recognized five marriages. It's different than living with somebody. Now we just think that it's okay to live with somebody. It's not okay according to God's will. God said that's for marriage. But he saw the woman and he spoke to her. And she said, I would like to have that water that you call living. And he gave it to her. He heard her. He listened. He's walking by the pool of Bethesda and he sees the lame man, chapter 5. The lame man said, I would get in that water, but I have no one to put me in. And only the first one in gets healed. And Jesus said, then stand up and walk. He listens. I've preached throughout my life that God is a God of miracles. But I also remember about 30 years ago coming home and telling Terry, I came home from the hospital and I said, sometimes I just wish God wouldn't heal anyone. I said that because every time I walk into the hospital, people are looking to be healed. And I can't do that. But I have seen enough healing to know that God does it. I have watched people as they have walked through almost the valley of death, and I've seen God lift them up. I've seen God give the weak strength. So God does listen. And then he tells us in 1 Thessalonians that we should pray without ceasing. I mean, be continually connected to God. And if you're continually connected to God, your language will change, where you go will change, what you eat will change, what you drink will change, how you treat people will change. Everything will change if you pray without ceasing. This thing is, I want to do my own thing. God gave me free will. He did. And the Bible says all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. He gave you free will. But you are lost in your free will until you take on the will of God and say, Lord, I want you to come into my life, take care of control of my life. Then you submit to his will, not your will. So your will is given up in order to walk in God's will. In God's will, he talks. He speaks. He tells us,
which way we should go and how we should go. So we start studying the Bible because we want to be in God's will. We want to do things according to the way God wants them done. So we pray without ceasing. I've had hundreds and hundreds of people tell me over the last couple of weeks, well, actually the last 3 years, because we've been dealing with for, you know, it seems like all those chemo treatments I took for 2.5 years in my bladder didn't work. But he says, pray without ceasing. And I can tell you this, and to the hundreds of people that have been praying for me, I need the prayer. And you need the practice. You need something to pray about. You need to stick with that prayer and hang in there and understand you need to pray for your kids. You need to pray for your grandkids because they're going to die. The Bible says in Luke 18:7, and will God not bring about justice for those, for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. God answers prayer. So we pray. We've seen all through the Bible, and we've seen here at the altar people that have been raised up. But there is a sickness unto death. Do I have that? Yes, so do you. Some of you, it's just age. Others of you have an aneurysm you don't know about. Or you have a clogged artery that you don't know about yet. Or you have cancer working in your body that you haven't found out about yet. We're all dying. So don't look on me as dead until I die, and I won't look on you as dead until you die. I tell you, therefore, Mark 11:24, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing that you receive it, and it is yours. That is a promise in the book. So why don't Christians pray? If you're praying in your car, don't close your eyes. David prayed many times, looking up into heaven. It isn't how you pray. Some people pray raising their hands. Some people pray jumping and pray. Some people pray on their knees and quiet. Some people pray laying on their bed. Some people pray driving down the road. The Bible doesn't tell us how to pray. He tells us to pray. And we don't make fun of people that pray different than we do. He just said, pray in my name. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit help us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. God is interceding for us. You may pray, Lord, I want you to take care of my children. I want you to bring my children to your altar. Lord, I want my children to live for you. I want them to learn this book. I want them to learn what the discipline of God is, not their discipline. And we don't know to say all those things. But God said, when you get in contact with me, I know. And I hear, and I listen. My prayer for this church is that you keep coming to church. My prayer for this church is you keep giving to church. My prayer for this church is you continue to walk in unity with one another. That means that you can give up your way. So many times we think that everything has to be our way. If I've learned anything about pastoring the church, I learned the pastor don't always get his way. Some people think so because I go along with what the council decides. Wouldn't it be stupid for me to come up and say, I don't like what the council did. They split the church. The other thing is God calls a pastor.
He called me here almost 37 years ago, and he gave me a vision for the church. Sometimes the vision was only that far ahead, what I'm going to preach on next Sunday. Then it was that far ahead, what we're going to do in the next year. And then it was that far ahead, how we're going to build a new building. Sometimes God shows us 10 miles, 10 years, and sometimes he only shows us 10 minutes. But God will show us the way. And he gives that to a pastor. One of the things that I've seen that have split churches is when leadership gets divided. In other words, someone starts listening to this TV preacher or this radio preacher, and they see the vision that that preacher is giving, and they try to bring that into their church, and they didn't give it to those who he called in the leadership of the church. And that just causes division. That's like you have in your house and you have in your children, and your son comes over and says, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to take the car tonight, and I'm going down to this place." And Dad says, "No, you're not. Well, I was talking to the neighbor man, and he said you should let me do that." My dad would say, "That neighbor man has his own house. This is my house. God says that he lifts up the leadership in the house. This church isn't ran like any other church. I understand that. There are things that other churches do that we can't do. There are things that we can do that other churches can't do. We just follow the Lord in what he wants to do, and the only way you'll keep unity is if that comes from the top down. That's what our calling is. And when you start taking advice from outside of the church, it's usually just about you. It isn't about the unity of the church, it's about you and your promotion. So I pray for the unity of this church, that you continue to trust the leadership. Because without trust, there is nothing. If you do not trust me with a vision, then you don't belong here. I'm sorry. All I can be is honest with you now. I don't have to fool around. But you will cause division. It don't matter who you are. You say, "But I've got a great idea." Then sit down with the lead pastor and talk with him about it and see if that is the way that God implants it into you. I am here because I submitted to the church in defiance, and I submitted to the pastoral leadership, and he said that I should come to North Cove and preach, so I did. He was my pastor. I remember going to the altar and saying, "Lord, I don't know what to do with my life right now, but I will follow whatever Dick Latham says because he's my pastor." I got up from that altar, and 3 days later, he asked me to preach on a Wednesday night. Then he sent me to North Cove, which is this church, when we were over on North Cove Boulevard. Then I went to Wauseon and preached a Sunday, and then back to North Cove, and I've been here for 37 years. That's how God works. God calls leadership. And I take my job, and I have taken my job for 37 years very seriously, and I've not tried to make any selfish decisions. The decisions that I've made have been in prayer, and it's about what is best for this congregation as a whole, not for me. Terry worked. We sacrificed. There were times when you didn't know how bad we were hurting, but God always took care of us. So God says you bring those needs and those prayers, and that is my prayer request for the church, that you unite in unity. And you realize, "Not my will, but thy will be done, Lord." That means we give up our will for his will. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Your prayer life will determine your Christian life. Your prayer life will determine your joy. Your prayer life will determine how you deal with circumstances in life. Worry? Do you worry, preacher? Really, I don't. I'm being honest. Will I? I don't know how They say chemo affects your brain somehow. My brain's been affected by something my whole life. Worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things that you cannot change. Life is what it is. You will have what you have. You'll deal with what you deal with. But prayer is a conversation you have with God about things that He can change. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Philippians 4, 5, 7. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by praying and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will surpass all understanding and will guide your hearts, your mind, in Jesus Christ. Pray, pray, pray. God listens. God hears. I thought of this on driving home from Cleveland. We went in there, and immediately they took us from one room to another room to a doctor, from that room to another doctor. I mean, there was no in-between time. The doctor goes out, another doctor comes in, and then the doctor goes out and he brings in two other people that are head of the test program, and then they set it up, and then they take us over to where they do the chemotherapy and tell us about how that's going to go. And I mean, it's about 5:30 before we got out of there, but it was constant from 1 o'clock on, bang, 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 bang. From the time they got my name that I was in the building. And I thought, that's just how heaven works. From the time that God hears our prayer, boom, things start to happen. You know that silent prayer that you raise your hand for? It may be silent here, but not in heaven. God hears it and He turns loose. But we accept His will. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Albert Einstein, Billy Graham told this story, so I'm going to tell it. Albert Einstein got on a train that he rode several different places, but it was the place where he started anyway. He got on the train, he's sitting there, and the bellman or the conductor, whoever it was, came up and said, "Ticket, please." And he went. And he said, "It's okay, Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. Don't worry about the ticket." And he went on and through the next car. He comes back and he sees Dr. Einstein down on his knees looking under the seats. And looking, and he said, "I told you it's okay. You don't need the ticket. I know who you are." And he said, "I know who I am too, but I don't know where I'm going." Let me tell you something. I know where I'm going. I've known that for a long time. The Lord knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows the number on mine. And I told Him, as the number of hairs on my head start getting lower, pick up on the number of these cells that I want Him to work on. Who knows? I might preach here 12 years from now. Might. Because I'm not going to die till I do. And I'm not going to walk around like I'm a walking dead person. So don't treat me like one. Don't assert authority over where I sit. My dad and his dad before him was always dad until he passed. And my children, I'll be their dad. And when I die, I hope they still hear me. My brother Jim texted me and said, I don't know what to say, only that I love you. And I said, Jim, don't worry. If something happens to me, some night I'm going to scare the fire out of you. We're a bunch of people here in this church that are alive, but we're all going to die. You better have your ticket punched and know where you're going. We walk in unity. We put God first in everything. We know God listens. The question is, will we listen to God? Because he also speaks. He said, let not your heart be troubled. For you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And that they are two things that I know. The way is through Jesus Christ. Lord, forgive me of my sins. How you allow your Holy Spirit to come into me and guide me and lead me, because I no longer want to live for me, I want to live for you. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but I know who holds tomorrow. Sometimes when you're sick, you don't realize you're sick, because I feel pretty good right now. Then I look over here, my whole family shows up, so I must be sick. Eddie Paul and his wife from Indianapolis, Lisa from all the way from Defiance, she's the oldest Fry grandchild. Her husband retired as a dentist in Oakwood and has been pastoring the church in DuPont because their pastor retired. We can't afford him. What I'm saying is, circumstances in life are going to come to you. Some of you have buried husbands and wives and children and grandchildren. And the only way you get through that is trusting God. Some of you have raised children that are rebellious. Keep praying. Keep praying. Because God will keep speaking to them and put people in their way to speak to them so that they know they need to make that turn. Keep praying. God listens. You hear me? He listens. When you shout, he listens in the quietness of your heart. He listens. So bank on it. You're talking to a God. I need to read that verse to you again that I started with. For we have not a high priest, speaking of Jesus Christ, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. God can be touched by us, but was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. He came to give eternal life. If the church and the people that are Christians would present it like right, the majority of people in the world would be Christian. But because we want so much of the world in us, they don't hear us. Let's stand. I do want to say something this morning. Listen along, raise your hand right over here. She's been our janitor how many years? 7 years. Church has always been clean. She took a job with Perrysburg Sanitation, driving a truck, making good money. So she retired from Heritage Church. So we hired a new janitor, who is Bob Anderson. And he lives just around the corner, and he retired from post office. He's younger than me, healthier than me. But he has COVID today. So he couldn't come today. So if you see something that's dirty, maybe pick it up. Because we don't want him coming back too soon. Okay. And I won't be here for the next couple weeks, but I do plan on being here the last Sunday in May. So let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers. Lord, I pray we be with the church council today as they meet about the bylaws. Lord, we know there's 100 different ways to manage church. But when you write bylaws, you got to pick one. So, Lord, I pray that you bless them, guide them, direct them. Because, Lord, we don't know what's ahead. But we know that you know. And we are committed to follow you. And for that, we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.